Hi, I'm Liz.
And I'm Rhea.
Welcome to Karma's My Bitch, a podcast about love,
sex,
connection,
abundance,
joy,
purpose,
peace,
and how life isn't simply the stories we tell ourselves. I feel bad at love, but so good at everything else really describes like me for a very, very extremely long time.
I had a really strong feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah, because it's like a sentence. It really just is just like, yep. I was like changing laws. I was like, you know, like doing good in my work. I was doing good with my family. I had great friends. I was bad at love, but so good at everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So I'm like, ouch.
But who is really good at love? Like, really think about it.
I know a couple of people who are excellent at love.
Like, yeah?
Like, excellent, yeah. Yeah. Like, beyond excellent.
But most people, you know, would you say that about?
I'd say a lot of people struggle with it, but really they're just struggling with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know some people who are really, really good at it. I can't say that, you know, but at different parts. Like, I've got one friend who was excellent at people falling in love with her, but terrible at actually, like, seeing it through to completion. I had one friend who was excellent at dating and, you know, landing on her feet, but I never quite wondered, like, did she marry always the right people, you know? And then I have other friends who were terrible at some stuff and then, like, excellent when it came to one relationship. So, like, yes, I'd say it's all, like, pick and mix, but I'd say as a rule for a very long time, bad at love, good at everything else was definitely my description.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just a mess. And we know this. We've written enough books and recorded enough podcasts. I don't need to go into it. Thank God I barely remember it. And that's kind
that's
of...
That's nice.
That's the blessing of the karmic undoing process, right? It's like yes. As if it never happened.
Or it's just a really bad dream.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm like, I know it sucked and I know why and I know I've written loads about it. But does it feel present to me in any shape, way or form? No. Do I feel free of it? Yeah. Like, it's not even a history.
Hmm.
It's just, it was what it was. And I learned what I learned and I am where I am.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we've shared is that until you reach that freedom, a healthy, loving relationship really isn't possible. Because in the old 3D paradigms of relationship, we were never free.
Well, also because you're always, you know, and that sounds, you know, like, fine, if it's not possible for you right now, it could be with the same person later, like all those things. I'm not going to caveat everything every 2 minutes.
Yeah,
but it is all caveated. But ultimately it's as simple as if there's one part of you that's sacrificing yourself for what you think you need to be,
mm-hmm.
because it's for separation
or who you think you need to be with,
it's not free. You are not wholly you and they are not wholly them and you're not wholly connecting.
And if you don't have that kind of agency to live your life and ultimately in 5D, what we're looking for is just being able to create meaning and express our love and do what we came here to do, because I won't even say it. I'm just not going to say it. I'm just going to be like, just being us.
Okay, fine. She means the divine. Go on.
Ultimately, we will not really be able to do what we came here to do, which is eventually achieve bliss. That is why we've started this episode the way we have.
Okay.
That's what's going on in episode 17, because we're having to bridge into bliss somehow.
Mm-hmm. So relationships can bridge us into bliss?
No, sorry. This episode is a bridge into bliss.
But relationships can bridge us into bliss.
No, who we are in relationship can bridge us into bliss, but that requires the karmic undoing, right?
Fine.
Now, if karma never happened, effectively, we would be developing, okay, let's just for argument's sake, born into separation, but never having karma. So if we're able to maintain wholeness in our lives, what we're effectively here to do then is heal separation by establishing fifth dimensional oneness consciousness, which is just basically, I am whole. I am in harmony with myself. And we do that through like oneness values, like having fun, maintaining integrity, showing tolerance. And that's what we effectively bring to every relationship, right? Because those are values that we share. So it doesn't even matter what kind of relationship we're in.
So you're bringing fun, oneness, tolerance. Mm-hmm. Harmony, all the good yummy stuff to relationships.
Yeah, because that's all you know, effectively.
And so you're being like sourced and be sourced, whatever. Yes. Be sourced and sourced. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then what sets those kind of relationships, how are they any different from the kind of healthy ones than we were in our karma.
Well, first of all, you don't have to try. The effort becomes effortless, if that makes sense, right? So the work that we attribute to long-term relationships, which, I mean, even I went through a period where I was like, marriage is definitely work.
Yeah.
And I look back, I mean, it was just the other day, I think I was just doing laundry or some bullshit.
Oh, what about I didn't sign up for this?
Oh my God, you should so tell the story. Do you remember it? Because no, I don't remember it that well.
I just remember there was something, he was really stressing. He just looked at me, I didn't sign up for this. And you just walked out.
I totally did. Oh my God. Oh my God, I think my parents were like low-key sad when I told them the story. They were like, oh my God, whose daughter is this?
No, I think also like, you know, we're going to find Ricardo in the corner of your sitting room holding a sign saying, please save me.
Yeah, you just really have to mine sometimes from the inner depths of your soul and your being a level of patience and open-mindedness so you can see your partner through something and you can see yourself through their lens. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you have to change your behavior or change for them, but it's just really requiring a lot of humility. Now, if neither one of you has karma, presuming then you guys, nobody has baggage or bullshit, you can really come at each other with such open hearts that you can see each other for who you are. And I think that's the one thing that has allowed us to stay married for this long, because we keep looking for that. So that way we're not just kind of stuck on the, like,
the challenges and shit.
And what people might call the work. The work is everyone's karmic undoing process.
And because they're getting reflected back.
Mm-hmm.
So actually they're like, marriage just take work. It's, well, yeah, because you're going through your karma.
Yeah.
You're learning all the places in which you don't think you're good enough.
Yeah. So when you...
And learning where all your expectations reside and the identities you've created around them. Mm-hmm. And what you believe you are, should have, or, you know, should look like, or whatever, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Without all of that, you're just people.
You're just two people. So what's the point then? Then, and as we discussed, then maybe you're no longer together. Mm. Maybe then your time is expired, which is probably for the best. You don't have to work through the memories of all the hurt if you've hurt each other a lot through that process. But if you are like us, just feel such a strong connection that is something that we, neither one of us wants to break, we just keep growing and we keep going with each other and that feels right. And we just keep doing that, right? But effectively, when you do make that choice to be that committed, it has to go somewhere, right? It's going to have to elevate. You just don't keep going in, you know, sort of ad infinitum of like same, you know, whatever, same life, different day.
And also because at the end of the day, you're growing, right? Your purpose mm-hmm. is growing. You're doing more things. Maybe you're grabbing a couple more fate lines, like
exactly.
Whatever you're doing, you're constantly expanding. So the relationship has to expand to fit you in it.
Mm-hmm.
But no. What happens if someone expands quicker than the other one?
When you're both in your karma, or somebody gets out of their karma first, you just got to have, that's where you hopefully, again, you've developed enough patience and tolerance and compassion that you just kind of hold space for that to happen. If you are not in your karma, you have to be able to recognize, is how long is this period going to go on for? And that's okay. Again, the patience and compassion you've developed and throughout your karmic undoing process, or just as a 5D being, presuming you didn't have karma, ideally allows you to hold space for that person and their growth. Generally speaking, when you're not in your karma, your growth process, so say you're working through a challenge, your growth process really ideally would not take longer than 6 months. So you can tell yourself, I'm going to give it 6 months. Mm-hmm. Let's see what kind of progress is being made over the 6 months. It doesn't mean you have to give it an expiration date per se or a death date, but at least be open-minded enough to kind of give it 6 months in human time. And it's not about being, you know, the spiritual explanation is then the two of you are like committed to experiencing the divine, right? And it's not like...
It sounds so pious.
I mean, it does. And it also sounds a little like very spiritually. Does that... Because I hear that and I think, well...
Climb every mountain... I'm just seeing the sound of music.
Anyway, well, I'm just seeing like going on yoga retreats together. Like this then presumes that we need to be so connected that we're doing shit together. Mm. And, you know, it's got to be in the more sort of spiritual phase. Mm. And I'm like, well, it doesn't have to do that.
And also, we like when we talk about spirituality, we just talk about the fun and the joy and the love and the, you know, all the yummy feelings, right? That's what people turn to spirituality for, whether or not they want to make it something more, and it sounds more important, mm-hmm. or sounds more structured. You're going, you turn to spirituality, or you connect to your own spirituality because you want a better expression of your life.
Yeah.
So really, if you take that same idea and put it towards relationships, it's just having a better expression of that relationship.
Exactly.
And having more fun and having more joy and having more all those things without having to sit there and going, is this the divine? Is that the divine?
I'm feeling the divine today. Hold my hand.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's
can you feel the energy moving between us?
It's just more like,
us?
Oh my God, we just went to the cinema and we really fucking laughed together.
Yeah.
And made out like teenagers in the back row. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's just normal things that just get really fun. It's about, and that's what we always say about this kind of like, you're not spiritual having a human experience. You're not human having a spiritual experience. You're just you having the best experience you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore it's the same in relationships.
Exactly. So it could be anywhere from just having big adventures together to just sort of facing the trials of what human life looks like together as well, but doing it from just a very conscious place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not mired in any sort of self-doubt or fear. Effectively, when we are really contemplating covenantal union, first of all, it is possible in your lifetime. Okay, this isn't
specifically.
No, I just, before anybody starts to wonder, well, maybe I'm not going to meet anybody where this is going to be possible, you know?
Will everyone meet someone where this is possible?
Yes.
Will both people want it?
The potential for that covenant would probably have been dead before it was even a possibility.
Oh, so when you say possible, you actually mean two people wanting it possible?
Yes. Yes,
oh,
yes.
That's so nice.
It is really nice.
And can
really
you find
like
out
that.
Like what age you'd be or like what you?
We'll tell you this. Like, you know what? It's not, you can't really say age. Again, it comes down to maturity and when one enters actual adulthood. So you might see younger generations ending up with their person, as we said earlier. Mm. Do you see younger people coming together in a way because they don't have karma?
Mm.
Do the relationships have an expiration date? Possibly. It doesn't mean that they're not leaving from their fate. Mm. If they're here for their growth and evolution, they just might need, they
but
might
I
require.
A covenantal relationship was forever and ever, like in this lifetime.
Yeah, possibly. Okay. But it could be that maybe that one's not a covenantal union, but it's preparing them for one.
Okay.
You
fine.
Just don't know.
So how but again, do you know if you're ready for a covenantal reunion or one will come into
sorry,
life?
Sorry, covenantal union? What you said this? Reunion.
Oh. How do you know that you're ready for a covenantal union or one will come into your life soon?
Well, first of all, you would desire it so deeply because you're that committed to your purpose that you no longer have room or space for anything that would interfere with it. As in, I'm really done with the games, but not because I'm just tired of the games. It's because I just know I'm really done with that arena. Like, I don't want to play in that space
and
anymore.
And how do you know that
I'm
you're
out
done
of
with
it?
That?
You can't even engage with it. Walking into that space just doesn't feel right anymore. You've outgrown it.
And when, if you're ready for that space, is it often that the person's ready for that space? Or is it like, now they're like, oh, we'll find someone who's around her who's also ready for that space?
Possibly. That could be. Yeah. But again, that's a contract. So it's not going to be some random.
But often, if a covenantal union, I imagine those contracts would be done like pre-birth.
They can be, but it also depends on the choices a person makes. Because we're never going to say that it's always and all, you know, set in stone, because that would be wrong to say.
And how do you know that you're in a covenantal union?
Well, it helps to say that you don't see an end. But there are some who are so willfully blind to their situations that they won't see an end. So we'll put it differently. When you know when you're in a covenantal union, all you feel is peace, which is why we said in the previous episode that prenups aren't devices to guarantee a covenantal union because there's no peace.
So how do we get to a place where we can have a covenantal union?
Having one with yourself. Being at complete oneness with yourself. And I don't mean like 5D oneness. It means that you are so committed to being you on every level. You cannot be anyone else. You can't even try. You could try, but it doesn't feel right and it falls apart. So it has everything to do with, again, the more in your purpose you are, the more that's going to guarantee that you're going to remain on that path.
So is that just the owing, knowing, expressing?
It is, definitely. And then also just really, I mean, we know that you don't like to hear it a lot, but it's really seeing the divine in yourself.
And what about those people who'd say to you, well, I've been doing that?
For as much as the people who generally say that they've been doing it don't do it as much as they think they do. Because otherwise, they wouldn't have to say, I've been doing it. Because it's just, you're living it. You're not just doing it.
Okay.
It's not a task. It's not something you wake up and tell yourself, like, you don't tick the box of my daily mantra.
And again, we're not just saying try harder. That's not what we mean.
No.
It just means try less, actually.
Exactly.
Try a lot less. Just be you.
Exactly.
Just try nothing.
Yeah.
Just be.
Yeah. Maybe move away from the thing that you think you need to be doing or should be doing in order to show that you're doing it, and just go live your life authentically in a way that is genuinely you and not some version of you that you hope will help you attain the thing that you think you really want.
Yeah. But what if for those people who are just, they're not doing it, they are, that is just who they are. They're like, oh, wait, but I don't really play in anything. I know exactly who I am. I'm really committed to my purpose. I don't want the games of having to date. It's really annoying. But at the same time, I want the joys of being in partnership with someone, but I haven't met anyone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to, what is our answer to those people?
Well, what is your answer to them? Okay. I'm just asking. You're like sometimes you do have answers, Ryan. I want to hear those.
I mean, I guess my answer would be keep moving. Optimal time for all?
It can be optimal time for all. But it could also just be that it's not time for that kind of union. So go and get the relationship you actually want, not the one that you think you're ready for. Because they're two often very different things. Because the one that you think you're ready for is the one that will come when you're actually ready for it.
Okay.
The one that you really want may not be the one that you think you're ready for.
It's just the one that you want.
Exactly. So just do it. And that's why we had all those other episodes about what does a sexual relationship look like?
Yeah.
How can you maintain integrity in one? Because maybe that is the one that's going to serve you right now. And you're just telling yourself, but I can't, because that's going to deter me from having the other relationship I also want.
Which I'm into, because this flies against the face of all the test bullshit. And it's actually just, can you just go for what you want? Because there'll be a reason that you want it.
And we mean genuine want, right?
How can you tell?
Because deep down, the thought of having anything else doesn't feel right. And it's not because, well, you really thought you wanted, I mean, this can be the worst fucking metaphor ever. But it's the only one I can think of. It's the one that flashed into my mind. So it's the one I'm going for. So say deep down, all you've ever wanted was a pair of Louboutins.
Oh my God.
You might fix this metaphor, Rhea, but once we explain it this way, it'll make sense. Okay. But you go and you try them on and you realize they're the most uncomfortable shoes you have ever had.
Which most of them are. Some are.
They often are. But for some reason, because you saw them, you see other people wearing them, you think that's what you want. But the moment you try them on, you're like, this doesn't fit me. I can't possibly wear these. I've actually have nowhere to wear these particular shoes. That's not going to suit me. And then eventually you land at another shop, equally expensive shoes, some you may not have ever considered, but realized after you tried on the Louboutins that suddenly the Sergio Rossi shoes are the ones for you. And they're equally sexy. They're pretty damn amazing. But you would have never bothered to discover it had you not gone looking. And had you not discovered that the first ones weren't right. Actually, instead of buying the Louboutins because you thought, well, I always said I wanted them. I'm just going to keep them anyway. And maybe one day I'll break them out for special occasion and they'll be my 2-hour shoes. Instead, you were like, no, I'm not going to settle. I'm just going to go and find another pair of shoes. And hey, these are amazing. I love them. I'm going to wear them all the time. This suits me. Mm-hmm. That's your metaphor. Which actually works.
Yeah. Makes so just sense. Go for what you think you want. Find out if you want it or not.
Yeah. Because often what we want is what we think. It's what our minds tell us. We only really know what we want when there's that feeling there. It's wired into us. And that's why you say experience makes normal. Because experience is what helps wire in our knowing and that feeling. And more we can engage with that feeling and that practice in our daily lives, the recognition of want becomes a lot more instantaneous and requires a little less effort.
Mm. But then sometimes also you could want something, but it kind of scares you, so you tell yourself you don't want it.
Mm-hmm. But that's for you to work on. Mm. It's not for anybody else to tell you, oh, get over it or grow out of it or, you know, eventually.
You'll untangle it somehow because we always do.
Yeah. You got to believe in yourself.
Because also sometimes for someone who's maybe looking for a relationship and haven't had one in a while, or for someone who's kind of had more maybe sexual relationships or all the other types, the idea of the deepest pond possible in any covenantal union, and I mean, it's really quite overwhelming.
It's a lot of weight put on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, carries a heavy burden.
Yeah, fuck me. So really, it's like, can I just meet someone I just get along with and see what happens?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because naturally, as we grow, as we evolve, as we deepen our relationship to ourselves and each other, that might happen, it might not, but going out and looking for it, I think, is going to kill it before it's even started.
I mean, it doesn't help at all. And so the more that we change and grow and evolve, like, the more we're going to start seeing that how we approach relationships, how we carry out these relationships, where these relationships end up and where we end up as a result are always going to be shifting. We're never going to have the sort of paradigm we used to. And so the more we start to look to the rules to kind of give us a sort of guidance, right? And by that, I mean the traditional bullshit ones, the less they're going to work, but in a way where then they're going to start working against us because they're going to keep us further from what we want.
Yeah, because we're not allowing ourselves to see it. Like, at the end of the day, you know, there's relationships where we were sleeping together for ages and then somehow we realized that there was more there, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. And actually the way we conduct our relationship is very different because we both value freedom, or, you know, one travels a lot, one doesn't, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Or actually there's so many different ways that relationships can start, can move, can change, can look like. And I think that's why you said before, which really stuck with me, that relationships are sacred. Mm-hmm. Because actually we define what our relationship is. And actually having these kind of strict structures or definitions in place for what makes a relationship and what doesn't, mm-hmm, ends up fucking us.
Yeah.
Right? Because then we end up not being able to live the relationship we truly desire, and we end up living the relationship we think we want, where both parties end up kind of resenting the other one because they're not doing it, but they both kind of want to do it, so why aren't they just doing it, right? Like, it just gets a bit messy. So it's just kind
just
of like,
a bit.
Just define it for yourself, create it for yourself. What it looks like is what, mm-hmm, it looks like for you. And yeah, it might change. It might, as long as, you know, you were talking about this with like the open relationship stuff and the cheating stuff and all the other stuff. But like, really, like, as long as two people are in integrity and honest with what they really want and are willing to try things out, make mistakes, come back together and keep growing and keep creating the special little world that, where the only rules are the ones that you two follow that you've created, mm-hmm, right? Or values or whatever you want to call it, then anything is possible. But if we come into it thinking like, oh my goodness, it has to be like this, like, we have to make the deepest bond possible, like, let's just stare at each other like all day across, like, you know, do like naked omming, like, fuck me, you're never gonna get anywhere.
So the reason why this episode is called Bad at Love but So Good at Everything Else, we're meant to take what we're good at with everything else and put it toward the relationship that we're so afraid won't happen.
You're gonna need to explain that more.
Because sometimes we're a great friend. We are committed and loyal to our work. We are so engaged with our purpose that we prioritize it in a way where it is so fulfilling and brings great meaning to our lives. And yet we treat relationship as if we other relationships, right? We put them in another category and we elevate them because they mean so much and they say so much about who we are that we
don't give them the best of us.
Or we give them so much of that that everything else gets neglected, right? Depending on our approach. But if we take all that we're really good with and good at and build our relationships from there, then we do stand a chance. We do that by no longer seeing relationships as the thing that will save us. I mean, the full stop. Like, I was like, three reasons. And I'm like, no, it just comes down to.
And how do we do that? When karma never happened.
When karma never happened, then you generally won't look at relationships like that. But again, if you prioritize your purpose, relationships at least then find their place within that. I think we actually had an episode about that as well.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because right now, they're still so elevated. in a way where it keeps damaging us because it's something that, yeah, because it's something that we can't attain. It's become this unattainable thing that, I mean, it's almost like, you know, only the 1%, right, yeah, yeah, of people can actually get that relationship. Yeah,
no, for sure. And but then when we call it divine union, I feel like that also makes it unattainable. That's why I keep saying
actually, this. But the point is, Rhea, is that it's meant to be attainable. When you recognize the divine is in you, then divine union is even more possible than that sort of 3D paradigm of successful relationship that looks like, you know, so, you know, whatever influencer.
Yeah, because I guess a divine union is just, I'm me, you're you, we're us, and our world is our world.
Exactly.
Whatever it looks like works for us.
But it stems from that union with yourself.
That has to be where it starts. Because otherwise, how do you know what you like, what you want?
Exactly. Who you are? Yeah. And it also begins, and we will say this before we finish, which is, and it begins with you not compromising anymore. Because the divine doesn't compromise. The divine tolerates, of course, and there's room for everything. But what you call settling, we call compromise.
Because it's, you're hitching your wagon for the rest of your life to someone you may not even like.
Yeah. Or somebody who maybe suits you enough, but fear tells you you won't do any better.
But you will.
Of course. If you're here for your growth and evolution, you have the capacity to attain all that you actually truly want and desire for yourself. You've just got to want it.
And sometimes wanting it means trying all the things you think you want and finding out you don't want them first.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. For more information, articles, and inspiration, find us at karmasmybitch.com and at karmasmybitch.insta.
And if you liked what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review.